And it's always, when Pastor Dick isn't here and I have the opportunity, I appreciate that he trusts me enough not to be here while I speak. And so I can say whatever I want then, and, and I'll hear about it later in the week. But Pastor Dick is a dear friend of mine, and I certainly appreciate him. I want to thank you as a congregation for your involvement in Bridge to Hope as well. And the ways in which, and if you're not familiar with Bridge to Hope, Bridge to Hope is something that I oversee. And we've got a number of men a part of our program. Right now we own three houses here in Oswego where we help those that are homeless or struggling with addictions. And we try and bring them to that next step. And the men will spend anywhere up to a year with us and then move on from there as well. We have, which most of you, many of you are familiar with, just right underneath us, Second Chances. And that's another ministry, a Bridge to Hope, that people from the community bring things here. And as people come, we offer those things for free to folks that are in a place of need. As well, we do something called Cars for Change. And if you have a car that you would like to donate, please talk to me. We fix them up, and then we distribute those to those that meet certain criteria within our community that may have a need for transportation. That's a very brief overview of Bridge to Hope. And Joe back there is on the board of Bridge to Hope. So if you have questions, you can ask him. You can ask me after the service. And as well, Foster Life is a part of it as well, in which Sarah has heads that up for us. And so, there's needs in our community, isn't there? And I have the privilege of being a small part of that. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for a time like this that is set aside in our schedules to just stop, to be together for encouragement, for fellowship. But Lord, I thank you that it's a time, Lord, that we can worship you through song that draws us back into that, out of the busyness of our lives, into your presence and a true focus on you. Thank you for an opportunity to pray together, Lord, and to open your word together. So, Father, we ask for your blessing on these next moments as we open your word together. And Lord, we ask that you and your words would be heard above anything else. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I've been thinking a lot about cost lately. And you might say, well, yeah, things are costly now. And you might think, well, 2 gallons of milk or 12 eggs or those kind of things. And things do cost more than they used to. And if I were to come down here and I've got a wad of cash here, I'll give it to you, Don. And you can even keep that. Don't spend it all in one place. But Don, how much did I give you? $3. Now all of you are wondering, what's he going to give next, right? Oh, pick me. Didn't cost me very much, did it? $3. Didn't cost me very much. You know, and I've been thinking about cost not in terms of as I go to the grocery store or fill up the tank and my gas. I haven't been thinking much about that, but I've been thinking a lot about what does my walk with Jesus Christ cost me? What does it cost here in Oswego? What does it cost in North America? What is it that costs me? And And I talk about being a follower of Jesus Christ, and I do call myself a Christian, but I don't refer to myself, and because about 68% of our population right now calls themselves Christians, according to a poll that was taken in 2023. And so I refer to myself more as a follower of Jesus Christ than I do to a Christian, because I don't want to be put in that camp. And if you want to argue about that later, we certainly can. But I'm going to win. But we can argue about that later. But what does it cost? You know, to give $3 isn't much. But what does it cost for me to live out my faith here in Oswego? What does it cost for me to live out my faith in North America, in the United States? Does it cost me anything at all? I was listening to a sermon by David Platt and as well as some other resources, and he posed these three questions that I want to pose to you this morning. And these are questions that you might feel like, ooh, that's a little too close to home, and I hope it is. Because it deals with our motivation, it deals with who we are, it deals with what it is that we grab a hold of and motivates us to be who we are in our faith in Christ. And I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning. I hope you have a Bible or a tablet or on your phone or something, to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and I believe it's going to be on the screen there as well, and we're going to be working through these three questions, and these three questions are actually found right here in this passage. And you can see these questions here as it goes towards answering the ultimate question of what does it cost us to follow Jesus. I want to read Luke chapter 9 verses 57 through 62. And I'm going to ask that you would stand. And if you're able, as I read this, it's my personal tradition and desire as we stand and read the Word of God to give it a sense of different than anything else that we read or are a part of. So, Luke 9, verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury the dead, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Here in this first individual that Jesus comes across and has this interaction with, the question that we can ask and ought to be asked is simply, are you going to choose comfort or are you going to choose the cross? Are you going to choose comfort or are you going to choose the cross? You know, this is my first time in the sanctuary here since it's been redone, and it looks great. You know, I was noticing the church that I am pastor at right now, we have these hard wooden pews. These are pretty comfortable. I could sleep almost through any message sitting in these. It's comfortable. It's comfortable. We're comfortable. In your life, are you going to choose comfort or the cross? The man in this account, the first man that comes to Jesus and he interacts with, and says, I will follow you wherever you go. There's an eagerness. There's a desire. There's this, I'll go wherever you want me to go, Lord. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll. And Jesus makes this statement, and we know according to Mark's accounts in the other gospel that this was a teacher of the law that had come to Jesus, and teacher of the law would come to Jesus, and they would often attach themselves to a rabbi in order to gain prestige, in order to gain position. So he comes to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. I want to be one of your students. And Jesus makes this statement that seems a little bit harsh, and all three of these statements seem a little bit harsh in some ways. He says, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, he's saying, you want from me what I cannot give you. You want ease and comfort. You want prestige. You want position. You want success. But that's not what I'm here to give. He says, I don't even have a roof over my head. In other words, Jesus is saying there's no guarantees for comfort. This is not going to be something that is easy for you. Jesus is making it clear on this road that following Jesus is not for self-advancement. In fact, he's saying the exact opposite. He's saying, if you want to follow me, then you got to do something else. And I want you to just turn with me in your Bibles, please. I'm going to be flipping around just a little bit, just within a few chapters in the book of Acts here, or in the book of Luke. And in these chapters, Jesus says some incredible statements of what it means to follow him. And I want you to go back just a little bit to verse 21, verse 21 of this very same chapter. And Jesus makes this proclamation. I'm sorry, I got the wrong verse here. He says in verse 51 first, he says, when the days drew near for him to be taken, he set his face towards Jerusalem. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and if you're familiar with this passage at all, why was he going to Jerusalem? It was to die, right? That's why Jesus was going. And then we turn back a little bit further, and it says in verse 21, it says, that we're going to be followers of Christ, we must deny ourselves and take up our cross. Now, there's a cross sitting right there at the back corner. And we see crosses all the time, don't we? We see them all the time. I mean, there's a guy that was out at the orchard yesterday that had this beautiful cross on it. And it was this, you know, silver cross, and it was... I didn't ask him about it, but I wanted to, and I thought about it, but it was just stunning. And I wonder how many of you are wearing a cross this morning. You know, today it's a symbol of jewelry. You'll see music artists and others wearing crosses. You'll see people, it's just a symbol today. But for those that in Palestine at that time, that Jesus is talking about taking up your cross, he's saying, come and die. Come and die. And how often are we supposed to do it according to that passage? Daily. Come and die to yourself daily. When somebody was seen hanging on a cross, it was within hours or sometimes even days, that person would die. There was no coming off the cross. There was no starting over again. There was no... When they were on the cross, it meant death. And when Jesus says to us, this is a welcoming thing. This isn't something for mature believers. If you've been walking with the Lord longer than 5 years, then you ought to die to yourself. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying for all of us to die to self. Comfort of the cross. No one survived the cross. This is not meant to be a call to mature believers, but it's an initial invitation to being a follower of Jesus. Whether you just came to know Christ yesterday or this morning, or you've been walking with the Lord 40 years, The call is the same, to daily die to yourself. Daily. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 3, and I'm just going to go very quickly through some passages. In Luke 10, verse 3, it says, "Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out like lambs to the midst of wolves." What happens when lamb goes in the midst of wolves? It's not pretty, is it? But we're being sent out as lambs into wolves to die. To die. In chapter 10, that same chapter, verse 25, a lawyer comes to Jesus and asks the question to him, "What shall I do to inherit the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven?" And it's very, very interesting here as Jesus answers this. What does he say? He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And this leads into the parable or the story that Jesus tells of the Good Samaritan, doesn't it? And if I were to ask you, if you've been a part of a church very long, you probably know that story. How two individuals were coming along that were religious, they were pastors. They were elders. They were the upper echelon that what we'd say in a church. I disagree with that kind of hierarchy, but anyway, we won't even go there. We've all been called to be priests. And so there's two individuals come along. They see this man that was beaten. Finally, a good Samaritan, a Samaritan comes along and takes that man and takes him and cares for him at his own cost. Luke 11. Sorry, I'm just going to adjust this a little bit. That's okay. I talk with my hands too much to use that. Luke 11, 42. We come to this passage, and Jesus there again is the woe to the Pharisees. "You give a tenth of your mint, your rue, your herbs, yet you neglect justice and love for God. But you should have done these things without neglecting the others." He goes on and says, "You neglect loving the least of these." You neglect what is important because it costs too much. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Society says to us, store up for yourself your 401k, but store up for yourself all these things. But Jesus says something very different. Says, "Watch out, guard yourself from all types of greed, because one's life does not consist in the abundance of possession." He then told them a parable of land, of a certain rich man produced an abundant crop. So he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And then he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store up all my grain and goods. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of goods stored up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, celebrate." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded back from you. But who will get what you have prepared for yourself? So it is with the one who stores up riches for himself, but is not rich towards God." Our world says, get more. Jesus says, give more. Our world says, get nicer. And I'm not saying this morning that it's wrong to have nice things. It isn't. But Jesus' challenge to the Pharisees, Jesus' challenge here is to give away. What does it mean to be rich towards God? The very last statement there in this passage in Luke 12, "but is not rich towards God." Well, In Luke 12:32, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide yourself purses that do not wear out, a treasure in heaven that never decreases, where no thief approaches, no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's easy for me, you might say, well, he's running Bridge to Hope, so he's asking for more money. I'm not. It's not what I'm here about. I don't want your money. Well, I do, but I don't. It's not what it's about. It's about the heart behind it for us. Are we comfortable? The message is clear, what Jesus is saying here. Sell your possessions, give your possessions, give away your life for those in need. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a whole message in itself, isn't it? Everybody's dressed pretty nice here this morning. Wonder how many of you would be willing to take your coat off, leave your shoes here this morning because somebody else is in need. November 11th, downstairs. We need coats, we need boots, we need shoes. I'm not telling you to do that this morning. But we're comfortable. How many of us had a hard time choosing which shirt we are going to wear out of the many, many we had this morning? Which vehicle? We couldn't find our keys for the right vehicle this morning because we've got so many keys and so much. We're comfortable. We're comfortable. The cross, the message of the cross is go and die. My concern for us as Christians in North America, and I believe there's going to be a wake-up call soon, and I'm not making a political statement at all. At all. But my concern for us as Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, true followers of Jesus Christ, not Christians, that we're coming to a time where the gospel that we have shared has been cheapened, and that we are going to be called to give an account for that gospel. Part of the gospel that we share today, and that I've shared at times, is come to Jesus in your struggles, you'll be fine. Come to Jesus and, you know, your life, it becomes easier. It's not the gospel, my friends. It's not in this book. It's not. In fact, the opposite should be true if we're truly choosing the cross over comfort. It ought to be more uncomfortable, our lives. There ought to be prices that are being paid more than we ever have before. We live our comfortable Christian lives in the confines of the church and meanwhile ignore the need that literally is outside our front door and all around the world. It is uncomfortable for us to get our hands dirty at times. It is easy for us to just turn and not look and think about the need that is around us. We can read the scriptures this morning and leave here and forget about what we are called to do. Go back and read those passages. It's about give, give. And I can see the wheels turning. Well, there's certain people that don't deserve it if they just got a job. Up, 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 up. I've heard all the excuses. Well, I don't give cash. I've heard it all, and I'm not just talking about the poor. It goes beyond that. The call is clear that Jesus makes to this first individual. In order to live this Christian life, it means that we lay down our life for others around us. Are you going to lay down the comforts of this world to show the compassion of Christ? Second question. I told you this kind of would get at us a little bit this morning, didn't I? The second question in Luke 9, 59 and 60, the second individual that Jesus addresses, he says to another, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury the dead, their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Some believe this, some scholars believe that this man's father was already dead, and he said, but I just need to go back and take care of this. Well, if you know anything about the Jewish mourning process, it wasn't just a kind of, I'll go back for an afternoon. This took days, okay? And others believe that the father maybe wasn't quite crossed over yet, and I just need to go back and be with my father and my mother and my friends and everybody and mourn the death of my father. And so this is interpreted a little bit two different ways, but really it doesn't matter. The same essence, the same heart is there, that he wanted to go back. I remember when I lost my mother, it was about 2.5 years ago in the midst of COVID, and I'm Canadian. You didn't know that already, eh? And when my mom died, I wanted to be with my family. But because of COVID, I wasn't able to be there. I was going to go up and do my mother's funeral, but I couldn't because I got COVID, so I missed my mom's funeral. I couldn't cross the border. That angst that's there, you can hear it in this man's voice. I just want to go back and be by my father. I want to go back and be by my loved one. And those who have lost somebody that's important, you can imagine. Jesus says, come follow me. But just, I just want to give me a little bit of time and then I will. Do you hear it in this? Do you hear this? Interesting that what sounds really harsh here, saying you can't go back. It's not a very loving Jesus, is it? It's not the Jesus of the Chosen that we watch on TV, is it? The jovial, hey. Verse 60, he's saying, you can't go back because there's something more urgent that you need to do. There's something more important that you need to do than going and being with your dying father right now. And I don't think Jesus was necessarily saying that you shouldn't be with your loved ones when they're passing away. Don't take it that far. But he's saying there's something of greater urgency. There's something that is more burning, more passionate, more important. And what does he say it is in verse 60? He says, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. What's the most important thing? Yesterday I sat across the table with one of the guys that has been a part of Bridge to Hope. And I had to ask him to leave the program. And I'm not going to go into details. And as I asked him that, and my heart was breaking, I wanted to cry. He was sitting across the table crying because he doesn't know where he's going to go, what he's going to do. But he had crossed over a line within the rules of Bridge to Hope. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, it's not about your addiction. It's not about your homelessness. It's not about, it's not about, it's not about. It's about the importance of him knowing Jesus Christ. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. You might say, well, that addiction's pretty important, isn't it? Yeah? Yeah? Jesus is saying here that the most important thing is the gospel. When's the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? I'm not asking you to answer out loud. When's the last time that you built a relationship not as a project, but knowing this person didn't know Jesus and they needed to know Jesus? You and I have the good news. I'm thankful that there's not going to be weeping in heaven. I'm thankful for that. But I don't understand how that's going to work. Because when I get there, and I believe I'm going there, when I get there and I see that that person wasn't there, see that that person isn't there, I go, where is? I don't know. I don't understand how there can't be weeping in heaven at that point. I really don't. But the Bible says there isn't, so I believe the Bible. It's estimated that there are 2 billion people in this world that have little or no knowledge about who Jesus is. 2 billion. Is your neighbor one of those? Is your friend? Is your family member? Out of a city of, I don't know, 12, 13,000 people, whatever it is, apart from college students, sorry. How many people know Jesus? Out of your coworkers, how many people know Jesus? Not know about Jesus. That's not what I'm talking about. How many people really understand the gospel and who Jesus is? There ought to be an urgency when we think of those numbers. When I was 18 years old, I had the opportunity to go to Brazil on a missions trip in the middle of the Amazon jungle, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but there was a 14-year-old girl who was pregnant and died. And the baby within her was still moving, and one of the nurses on our team wanted to take the baby out, but they believed it was an evil spirit, so the baby died as well, as you could see it moving within her. As an 18-year-old... young person. I remember walking after that up and down this airstrip, thinking about that. That young lady never heard the name Jesus in her own language. Never heard. Had no idea who Jesus was. That young lady is in hell today. Is there an urgency for us that people around us would know Jesus? Is it something that burns within you? Man, you gotta know. Maybe there's even somebody sitting here this morning and you go, I don't know this Jesus. come talk to, I don't know, somebody. Come talk to somebody from this church. Talk to somebody that you came with. There ought to be an urgency, my friends. That's why Jesus said what he said. You know, when we think about the 2 billion people around the world that don't know, and I believe there's a percentage that are right here in Oswego, there's a percentage that are in the United States, there's a percentage in North America, I just can't help but ask, are you willing to go? Well, I'm not called to be a missionary. Yes, you are. Go and make disciples. Jesus called you. Don't go and make followers. Go and make disciples. That's a whole nother sermon that Pastor Dick will have to cover. But go and make those that are all in. And that's my question this morning for us. Are you all in? Are you all in? Third question. Will your life be marked by an indecisive mind or an undivided heart? Luke 9:61, this is what we read, yet another. I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus makes this statement, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying, fix your eyes on him. An undivided heart. In Luke 14, verses 25 and 26, it says, now large crowds were accompanying Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his mother and father, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Another harsh statement of Jesus, isn't it? Well, what's he talking about there? He's talking about the fact that in comparison to the love that you have for the Lord, for Jesus, it ought to pale. Your love for others ought to pale in comparison. He's not saying you literally need to hate your wife and husband and children, and I hope you don't literally. But he's saying here in comparison, he's making a comparison in comparison to the love that you have for them. It ought to pale in comparison to the love you have for Jesus. Don't be double-minded. Is Jesus enough for you? Is Jesus enough? Just think about it for a moment. If you lost your family, you lost your home, you lost your job, you lost your health, is Jesus enough? And it may be easy to answer that here this morning because you're sitting in those comfortable pews trying not to doze on me this morning. But is Jesus enough? It's a parable that Jesus tells in Matthew 13:44, and I'll wrap up in just a moment. Be careful when pastors say that, by the way. Matthew 13:44. There's a parable of a man who is in a field, and he's going along, and he's not searching, but he comes across this treasure. And he finds this treasure in this field. And he takes, and he doesn't take it and show his friends, he buries it again. And then he goes out and he sells all that he has, everything that he has, so that he could buy that field. And his friends are probably going, what the heck are you doing? Why are you selling all that? Why? He probably just smirked and said, well, I'm going to buy that field. People We're going, has this guy lost it? Because he found something that was of far greater value than all that he had, a treasure. That's what Jesus is to us. He's that treasure that we give up everything else in our lives in order to claim that treasure. Comfort or the cross. Maintenance or sacrifice. Indecisive or an undivided heart. There's two things that ought to be true of our lives as we contemplate these things. I've read a lot of scripture. I've bounced around. I don't like when pastors do that, but I did it this morning. I can never follow. But as I read all that scripture this morning, there's two things that you and I need to do in order to stay focused where we need to focus. One, is we need to commit ourselves to believe what Jesus says. This is true. The things I have read, when it says, talks about giving away your possessions, you can say, ah, that's not really literal. Well, you're twisting. Does it mean that you should give away everything so you're in a place of need? That's a whole nother conversation. First thing is you need to commit to believe whatever Jesus says. Do you believe every word in here? Second thing is, you need to commit to obey it. Believe it and obey it. Friends, I have been battling, and this message does not come out of a judgment for you. It's what God's been doing in my own heart lately. I've been battling with something, and how do we handle this? How does my family handle this? What do we do? And am I willing to pay the cost? That's ultimately what it comes down to. And I've been struggling, my friends. That's where this message comes out of today. It's not out of come, well, let me just preach this. No. Man, I've been struggling. I told you in the very beginning, am I willing to pay the cost? Are you willing to pay the cost to be a follower of Jesus? Time's coming, I believe, that it's going to become more black and white, who is and who isn't. I believe that time's coming. Right now, it's pretty darn comfortable in here. Sorry, I said darn. I didn't say anything else if you misheard me. It's pretty comfortable in here. It's not comfortable being a follower of Jesus. It's hard. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Let's pray. Lord, you know our hearts, and we can say whatever we want. We can put on a good face, and we can, even as we sit here this morning, Lord, and you know our hearts. You know the battle that is within us, and even in these moments. Comfort at the cross. Die to self. Lord, I thank you that you're worth it. thank you that our treasure and what we find in you is so worth it. It's not easy. It's not even comfortable, and it's not even something I like sometimes, Lord. Lord, I thank you. You give us hope. That you are the Lord of the universe that is storing for us up treasures in heaven. Lord, may you shake us to get our priorities right. Shake me, Lord. And we be men and women that say yes to you first and ask questions later. Lord, make us devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name.